Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 184 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to recap this week's nerd news. Beginning in entertainment, we're going to talk about the Eternals, the Disney Plus Day, and all the shows coming along Disney Plus, some video game news, NFT and crypto talk, and then a little bit of space news. There's a lot to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, episode 184. We took a little week off. I'm sure you all noticed.
Yeah.
And
I got all the emails and text messages wondering where their nerd news was.
I didn't get blown up on Twitter. I have people asking me if I'm okay. I actually feel really depressed about it. Took me a couple days to recover. Let's jump into some news here. And since we were off last week, of course I take off on the week that I actually see a movie, opening day, right? That I can come in hot with the freshest movie in the theater and give my opinion, and I go on vacation and skip a week. but I did see Eternals on Thursday, the opening day, and you did as well. You didn't write a review unless I missed it.
Nope.
So that already says a lot about the movie.
Yeah.
Because Steve now does not spend his time on the mediocre. And that's where I'm going to assume your opinion was on the movie.
Yeah, it was really hard to care about anything that went on in that movie. Like, it was really hard to just buy into. The focus wasn't on any one or two characters, so it was like vaguely on eight of them, and it just didn't get me to give a shit about any one of them whatsoever.
Right. I think the only person that they make an attempt towards is really the Cersei character, but even that's it's a half filled backstory in. That's been my complaint about it. I found the movie entertaining. I didn't think it was a bad movie. It's definitely not in the top 10 Marvel movies. But that was my expectation all along going into it. We talked about it before the movie came out, that the expectations were that, like, you're trying to do too much. So I'm sure it's going to have some great scenes.
I remember what Celestials were and everything. Like, I was really proud of myself with the Celestial seeds. And I was like, I was right. I'm right. Steve, give me an attaboy, a no prize, as Marvel fans would call it. I got the no prize of the day.
But, I think it was exactly what we talked about the week before, that they're trying to do too much. They're not going to have enough time to paint the right backstories. It's going to lack kind of that personal feel, but it's in the end going to set the stage and tell a pretty decent story with some really well put together scenes and action scenes. And that's essentially what it was. I wish it was a Disney Plus series so you could have spent eight episodes doing it and dedicate half an episode to kind of what these people have been doing over the last 500 years since they all split up, and, you know, it build up the backstory between some of the paired relationships that some of them had, focus on the backstories.
Honestly,
and some of the other
I
ones.
Thought about it, and I was like, you know, there wasn't anything that came out in this movie that gave anything away for any past movies. Like, during the pandemic, they should have just released this on Disney Plus and just gave everybody an attaboy. Like, there's no real, like,
deep like MCU tie-in or implications.
Yeah, like, why didn't they just throw this straight to Disney Plus and be like, hey, here's a Marvel movie for you guys while you're stuck at home all the time. Like,
do you know how much money you pay to get Angelina Jolie and Selma Hayek? And, like, that's why. Yeah. They're just hoping.
I'll take girls, like, I used to fap to in the 90s, Alex.
There's no recovering. The show's over. We'll take another week off, friends.
Well, then they said that Selma signed for multiple movies. Like, how is that a thing? Like, I don't get where they're gonna pull her out from. Like, I just, yeah, it was really hard to really kind of just get really bought into anything that was going on.
Yeah, I don't really know what the overall goal is, but I'm sure certain that they just really had to release this, at least recover what they could. I think it's after week two, it was at like 250 million box office total. So that's more than they were getting if they went straight to Disney Plus and gave all the, you know, the fans threw us a bone over COVID time. Like in the end, this is the direction that they probably needed to go to recoup this, the cost on just actors alone. I'm sure this movie was a hefty fee. And I don't know. It was exactly as I expected it. So I was fairly satisfied. I thought it was entertaining. Not good.
I don't know. For me, I was damn near checking my watch, like ready to get out of the theater. I don't know.
Once we picked up out of all of the flashbacks over time, like actually I didn't care, like because it was just jumping every 2 seconds over all over the place. Once we kind of got out of that and it started playing
History of the World Eternals version, like.
But then. Yeah, the climaxes of the movie also didn't fulfill, like the end fight season scenes and all that stuff. Like, nope, there's a lot left to be desired from that movie. But overall, I still found it entertaining. Again, expectations are the key to happiness.
It did have Marvel's first sex scene.
My expectations were that it did.
It had Marvel's first sex scene. That was a big deal.
For no reason.
I know.
They could have just left it without doing
out of all the years we could have had a good Hulk and Widow bang session. this is what they give us.
I found it to be completely unnecessary. It was odd.
And another story that came out with the movie is that they didn't edit out the actual gay couple for any other dictator country that still views gay relationships as an abomination, which I commend them for doing. Like if they like, fuck you, China. If you don't want it, you don't want it. Russia, fuck you. I want that stance more from our corporations of this is what we made. If you don't fucking like it, you eat it. We're not eating it.
Yeah. It was a refreshing take. Normally you expect, I just expect them to make a separate edit for everybody else. So it's
I thought the storyline of the gay couple was actually done really well. A lot of times they try to shove those storylines down your throat, but it felt very natural and very organic, and it was a good part of the movie that, you know, their relationship and how the movie played out affected them and I like that type of inclusion, you know what I mean? Where it just seamlessly blends in with the movie and just it feels like a normal part of life, not something that they're trying to accentuate or, you know, force an audience to have. So I'm glad that they didn't cut it out because they did it perfect in my eyes, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, Disney, like you gave them credit for not cutting it out. I guess I didn't necessarily think of it in that way initially when I saw those stories about them getting Saudi Arabia and stuff no longer showing it and stuff like that. I didn't give Disney the credit, but I definitely would have blamed them if I found out that called them cowards if they cut it out.
You gotta give them a pat on the back when they do good on you, you know.
Yeah. All right, let's move. We got some more Marvel stuff to talk about. Let's continue with this week. They had the Disney Plus Day last week, the anniversary of Disney Plus, and they gave a bunch of press releases, some new trailers and everything else. And ultimately, very heavy moving forward on Marvel. There's a lot of just kind of confirmations or kind of, hey, remember when we told you that we were going to do these shows? We're still doing it. Still a year and a half out for most of them, but we're still doing them.
You know what Disney Plus Day actually symbolized for me? Is that I only got a one year left on my subscription before I got to start paying for this shit again.
I thought we had 3 years.
Yeah, we had three years. It's been two years. They had their 2 year anniversary.
Oh, that's right. This was their 2 year anniversary.
This is their 2 year anniversary. So we got 1 year left. Like, I forget that I prepaid for 3 years. So I don't get that monthly notification that they're taking it out of my bank account.
That means
the first day that I get a Disney Plus hit on my bank account, I'd be real salty. How do I get that 1 year deal? 3 months.
I have 1 year and 3 months because I just got an extra 3 months added for picking up the Disney NFT.
He's an NF tweaker.
Oh, yeah.
He can't stop.
But, you know, just to recap some of the things that they talk about, like some of them are shows that we knew were coming out that we're excited for, like Moon Knight. And I'm sure that that show is actually going to be pretty phenomenal.
Oh, yeah, it looks great.
Everything you see from Oscar Isaac there looks absolutely great.
I actually finally went through all my comic book boxes from the move, and I pulled out all those Moon Knight issues that are going to get pressed and graded and add tons of value to my collection.
And then, you know, the other shows that we kind of all should have known about, you know, the She-Hulk, which they're giving a little more information about what it's going to be. They're definitely calling it a comedy.
And you got to see some screenshots.
At this point, you get to see a little more information. Definitely going to be a lighter show in She-Hulk.
I like that actress, too. I can't remember her name, but I do like that actress.
Yeah. Tatiana, right, is her name?
Sure.
And then we got Miss Marvel. Again, just being confirmed that's moving forward. And then, you know, some kind of new information. The big one that a ton of stories covering, you know, was the Agatha House of Harkness show. Everybody wants to see it. Like, whatever. Like, that'll just be good fun. You let Catherine Hahn do something, I'm going to watch.
I think that's a show that they were just, like, pieced together as quick as they could. They're like, oh, everybody loves this chick? Get a show. Yeah. Hurry up. Get some writers. Like, just get some writers in a room. I had a bad joke I probably shouldn't say. I'm going to chamber that one.
If you're saying that you shouldn't say it, I'm not going to press you to say it. That's definitely a danger zone then. We also got Echo. I knew nothing about Echo. I didn't know what that was when I saw that was coming out. Apparently that's the daughter of Kingpin, who's
pretty big character.
A deaf character. Didn't know. And then a new Spider-Man animated series, which is Peter Parker before he has powers. I don't know how much I care about this, but
yeah, I know. Guess. It's like that young Sheldon show. It's like, does anybody really watch this?
Yeah. The answer is a lot of people, but at least young Sheldon's interesting. Peter Parker without the powers is not interesting.
I'm constantly amazed that anybody watches anything on CBS all the time. I don't understand. But the show that we're all clamoring for is the continuation of the X-Men 97 cartoon. Bro.
Sure.
That is going to be my shit. Gives me another reason to start binging it again.
Yeah, I should probably go watch. I mean, what the hell else am I doing? I should just throw it on in the background when I'm sitting around doing nothing and get all caught up. Make my kids watch it.
Eat a bowl of cereal like you're on the floor like a shorty. It's sort of about their life, man. Secret Invasion is coming out. I am excited because I just, as I was going through my comic book boxes, I bought 3 issues of Secret Invasion number 1. Like, I was off. When I was collecting, that was like in the height of my weed smoking days, and I would quite often get stoned and go to the comic book store and forget I had bought an issue last week. Like, do I have this one? fuck it, I'll buy it already. So I found some doubles of some really good issues that I'm kind of glad I bought 2 of them now. And I have 3 Secret Invasions. So please give me that show.
Yeah, that should work. And then a new one that I hadn't seen previously was Ironheart. I don't know when, if this was a new press release, but...
No, they said they were going to do that. And, we got to fill the Iron Man void. Now that Robert Downey's gone. So this was, I think, in the works for a while, because I do recall this being a story back a while ago.
But yeah, ultimately, if you want more Marvel stuff on Disney Plus, don't worry. It's coming. Not a lot of release dates on a lot of these, but they'll be scattered over 2022 and 2023.
Yeah, they gave us a big Star Wars dump of shows a while ago. This is like they're the same thing, but they're like, hey, it's our other nerdy arm that makes us just shit ton of money.
Yeah. And then we can move out of Marvel talk here. Let's talk about a little bit of video game news. And the first one is Blizzard delaying Diablo 4 and your, I don't know if you're ever going to get Overwatch 2, as they have now delayed that again. They've pushed the release windows to both of those, and they've just pushed the release windows to not 2022. TBA. Like, that's all they've guaranteed is that it will not happen in the year of 2022,
which is so fucked up. Like, which is it's okay. Halo Infinite multiplayer dropped yesterday. I've already been playing some multiplayer Halo. I got something to
That gives me the itch.
Oh, yeah. Like,
Halo is all that. That's the game. It's a good thing I don't even have a TV right now.
But I don't know. I think a lot of this is just them trying to generate a story to piss off fans more than the walkouts and all the hubbub with them trying to get the president of Blizzard to step down because of all the sexual allegations and things like that at Blizzard. So I think they might just be like leaking this story and delaying the game just to get the focus on games rather than the people that work at Blizzard.
Yeah, I think it's probably going to go into some kind of strategic rebranding or whatever else, like push that back. They also canceled their online BlizzCon for 2022. So they're not doing an in-person or a virtual BlizzCon next year. So it really seems like maybe they're just going to try to have a really quiet 2022, make Diablo and Overwatch the best things that they can possibly put together, reset the company and try to get away from the PR nightmares that they've had. So, you know, maybe the 2022 is just that gap year. Like this is it for them. Take a year off and see how it shapes out on the back end. And that's really what it feels like. We'll see. And then let's transition. We got some more video games, but it's also the first of four different NFT stories because, as you said, I've got the addiction.
I just see that Chappelle meme where he's scratching his throat. Y'all got some more NFTs in there?
And that's essentially where I'm at. But which means that all that I get fed into my news feeds, into anything that I do, is NFT news at this point in time.
Ken's in the back alley giving hand jobs for Ethereum.
That's an appreciating asset right there. But so we've got our kind of crossover here with video games, and we get EA calling NFT and blockchain games as the future of our industry. And it's just interesting that over the last couple of weeks, we've really talked about the back and forth here, where, you know, we talked 4 weeks ago about Steam and, you know, Valve and Steam coming out and saying that if a game has anything to do with blockchain, if they sell unique skins, they accept payment, they tokenize anything, whatever, then they're banned from Steam. Then immediately Epic the next week says, okay, well, we'll take them all. Like, anybody who's willing, who wants blockchain games, bring them over to Epic.
Well, of course, the king of microtransactions comes out like, what's up with NFTs, y'all? Yeah. we'll do NFTs too.
And they're absolutely right that NFTs are going to be absolutely revolutionary to video games. It's going to take some time, but it's definitely going to be the future. And I still, we said it weeks ago when Steam said that they were outlawing it. It's just like, okay, well, let's see how that works out for you. Yeah. Blockbuster. Like, let's see how this goes. If you're not going to adapt to the new realities of the market.
It's like they're in their board meetings. They're just like, okay, guys, how can we stay the fifth leading name in video games? We are comfortable at number five. What can we do to make sure we stay at number five? It's like, go against the grain. No NFTs. Yes, genius. Yeah, and Steam strikes again.
a lot of people, I think, in the NFT space and NFT video game space, they're really kind of conflating the idea that NFT or blockchain video games also equals like this play to earn concept in NFTs, and EA has said that they're not talking about play to earn at this point in time. So it's not about,
like, you know, we said, man, it's just you can buy and trade Fortnite skins. That's essentially where the first thing it's going to go to is, you like this skin, well, we're never going to make it again, so if you want it, you got to buy it off the blockchain.
Yeah, you want that Walter Payton to go play on your team? Yeah. Whatever else, here you go. We're going to release 10,000 Walter Paytons, and you can add them to whatever team you want to play on. You know, they're going to find ways to incorporate these as unique transactions. They'll serve as status symbols to people within the games that
you're going to have to link your Xbox Live account to a MetaMask wallet and shit.
And I think they're going to get to a point. They're going to find a way around that stuff too. The making this more consumer friendly is
Or they can just turn your Xbox Live account into a wallet.
Absolutely, like, right? Like that's what I mean. Like, they're going to make this.
It basically is, because every digital video game you buy is attached to your gamer tag. Like, all they have to do is make it a blockchain wallet rather than a Microsoft server wallet. Because right now it's just a wallet that only exists on the Microsoft server. Yeah. Once they put it on the blockchain, it's no difference.
And that's what I mean by it. They're going to make this so much more consumer friendly going forward. Right now, you still feel scared and awkward trying to navigate through buying NFTs and hoping your transactions go through and you didn't just blow a couple hundred dollars on money that's floating around somewhere on a block.
Well, like, it's like Steam's worried about a bunch of shit, but like, I mean, they were giving out double XP on Doritos bags for Halo. Like, do you remember those days? Like, you used to buy a bag of Doritos and there would be a code inside so you can get double XP for Halo. Like, they've been on this kind of shit for fucking decades. Do not doubt that as blockchain and NFTs gets more popular, that every video game is not going to try to capitalize on this and try to squeeze, you know, more $9.99, $4.99, $19.99 transactions out of you.
Yeah. And like I said, I don't in any way look at it as a negative with these companies trying to do it. It's like, yeah, EA, obviously they've got a long history of just nickel and diming everybody. And NFTs is just a part of that in the future. Like, this is just going to be the future. But I think it's actually one that's a little more desired going forward. Like, there's going to be a bigger market for it. People are going to have a better relationship and different relationship to it than just the current version of microtransactions and everything else that really there is no ownership. There's no trading it. You know, if you actually own it as an NFT, you can trade it to other people. You can do other things. Like, there's going to be more utility to it. I think it's the future. EA is dead on with this.
Let's talk about another company that's looking to explore into NFTs.
Yeah. And this is AMC looking at exploring NFTs.
I think AMC is genius.
And they're throwing, AMC's throwing everything at the wall, right? Ever since the Wall Street Bet stuff, like, of course, why wouldn't they go for the crypto bros too? And like, in the end, AMC is 100%. They've taken that influx of money that they got through the Wall Street Bet nonsense, they're doing everything they can.
I'm going to do some right now. So like in my Apple wallet, you know what I mean? So like, I load every movie ticket I go see at AMC into my Apple wallet, and some of the stubs I still have in my Apple wallet are like from movies from like 8 years ago, you know what I mean? And I like, really? I love like scrolling back and being like, oh shit, wow, like I forgot I went to that movie. Like, it's amazing, like the memories, because like a lot of people collect their old concert ticket stubs and things like that. It's a way for you to have like a piece of the movie, you know, and like they could do first fucking 10,000 people to buy pre-sale tickets for this next Marvel movie get an NFT poster with their, you know, because they give out free comics a lot of times when I go to these movies. You know, you get a comic book and just sits in my car and I don't do nothing with it. Free movie posters. I will take AMC fucking NFTs all day with my fucking tickets, because you never know down the years, and it could just be part of this like cool little collection you have, and it doesn't put any like physical ownership on me to where it's like, oh, you just handed me this movie poster while I go sit for 3 hours in a fucking dark room with popcorn and fucking super pretzel bites and all this shit, and I'm supposed to keep this nice and go home and frame it or something. Like, no, it's not how it's gonna work.
Yeah. And on that ticket thing, I've recently listened to somebody else in the sports space and for NFTs talk about, yeah, like sports tickets and ticket. We've talked about Ticketmaster and stuff like that adopting NFTs to certify their tickets. And in the future, like, yeah, if you're at that game that some absolutely wild event happens, some major record being set or whatever is going on at that game, like, yeah, you walk away with ownership to like an actual piece of history.
Yeah.
That's another interesting aspect.
It's back to the thing I think that NFTs is going to be huge for is sporting events and movies and ticket stubs. You know, people keep ticket stubs now in physical form. Making it an NFT just makes, I think, increases the value and makes it easier to keep. I'm actually looking at the first ticket stub in my Apple wallet, and it's the first Hobbit.
Oh, yeah.
2012.
I think what AMC will probably do is, I don't know if you noticed, you know, for you listeners there, Steve and I both purchased nonsense collectibles and stuff off of an NFT platform called Veeve. And in that platform, when the James Bond movies came out, they sold unique James Bond posters as collectibles. And if you bought the poster, it came with a free Cinemark ticket or whatever else through Veev. And I imagine that's what AMC is going to look to do is as a part of promoting movies coming out.
Disney
they
Plus
sell NFTs.
Day, yeah. They had the Disney releases on Veev. And with your NFT purchase, you got 3 months of a fucking Disney Plus. Like, This is the future, man. This is just how it's going to be. And if you still think NFTs are just digital Beanie Babies, you got another thing coming. Like
yeah, 100%. At least I hope so, because I am over invested. yeah, we got more NFTs, guys. Let's talk a little
Ken
bit.
Ken will do butt stuff for 0.1 Ethereum. If you got a MetaMask wallet. And that's what you're into.
Don't even be the middleman with the Ethereum. Just give me a solid JPEG, and we'll call it good. But we can
H jobs for JPEGs. Oh God, that's great.
But we can talk about more people getting into the hype behind NFTs and. And this was something that hit to your club days of Deadmau5 dropping NFT collection.
This is right up his alley, though. He's always been a tech dude and a video game guy. Like, this is right. I'm actually surprised it took him this long.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised. There's certain people that haven't entered the space that I really would expect. And he's one of them. But again, it just goes to show this adoption that's taking place. So one of these days, maybe we'll just do Nerd Cantina token that nobody's going to buy. We'll just hold all of them, give them out to just send them to random wallets
on the blockchain. Airdrop cantinas to everybody.
Let's do it. Why not?
I just saw Matt the other day, and I told him the other day, Pitiful Penguins. Like, if we don't make our Pitiful Penguin NFTs, I'm going to be really fucking pissed.
There's too many penguins. I've seen them all over the place. I got ideas, though. We'll talk later. All right. let's move on to really our last segment on what's a little bit of light. There wasn't a lot of tech necessary news going on this week, but we've got some space news. And first one, a sad one, that NASA has already delayed the next moon landings, the whole Artemis program. They've pushed that back to a year later, to 2025 as the first possible target for moon landing.
Well, the quote is no earlier than 2025.
That's what I said. First possible, right? 2025, first possible landing. Yeah,
we won't try to do it around here, but don't get your hopes up.
Yeah, and really, they blame a pretty good portion of it on litigation that's taken place between SpaceX and its competitors for when SpaceX was awarded the lander, that put a halt on the projects for 7 months.
It's rich crybabies fighting over who gets to take everybody to the moon. And from what I know, there's really only one person capable of it. I don't know what everybody else is crying about.
There's one person who's definitely closest, right? Like, and he was the one awarded the contract. But you've got Lockheed Martin, you got Boeing, you've got everybody else fighting to still stay alive within the space, as well as Amazon's Blue Origin. In the end, it still stays with SpaceX having the predominant contract for the moon landing. I just went to the Houston Space Center last week. Got to see some Falcon 9 rockets over there at the Houston Space Center and some displays about the Artemis program and everything that they're moving towards. So that's what I do on vacation as a host of the Nerd Cantina should do, is go to the Houston Space Center as a vacation trip with the family.
Are there just like old astronauts wandering the halls looking for somebody to listen to their stories?
I was actually disappointed that I didn't meet a single astronaut. It was a really cool place. Like, it's definitely something if anybody's interested in space. It's just, it's good for both the historical aspect of it, like the
completely restored. Really cool to see the scale of like these rockets, the actual scale, to be standing next to them.
Oh yeah.
And see just the massiveness of this shit that we shoot into the air. Like,
absolutely. And especially when you look at like the old ones
to that motherfucker, like, are you for real?
I'm always fascinated when you see like the actual Apollo mission like Saturn rockets and the landers and stuff that they have, and it's kind of I look at it and I think, no, I can understand why people don't believe that we went to the moon. You know what I mean? Like, I could
they came
absolutely
back to Earth in this Tupperware bowl.
Yeah, like, you're telling me that we actually launched a rocket very precisely to the moon, landed it multiple times. Several of these missions went to the moon, and one of them carried a little vehicle, a little ATV driving around the moon, and we did all that with all these flips and switches and nonsense buttons all over the place. No, I could believe that conspiracy theorists have a reason to be skeptical, but it's fascinating history, and the mission command being restored, all of that's absolutely great.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's a piece of history, and I think everybody should really kind of like see it to get a scale of it.
All right, and then our last story is, I guess Earth has a second moon, is what the headline is calling it from Time Magazine, that Earth has a second moon.
Like, you're gonna have to break this down for me.
For another 300 years, it's saying, and I guess this is some new discovery that is a moon-like thing that is much smaller, that is kind of orbiting around Earth. It was discovered back in 2016. And I guess for the next 300 years, it's expected that it's going to maintain its trajectory in orbiting around Earth, which gives it the classification of a moon. Even though it's kind of a quasi-moon, it's really not really significant to the naked eye. It's only, I think, 50 meters across. So not a significant moon, not anything else like that. You know, we're not going to be in, like some sci-fi movie having two gigantic moons floating around next to each other. But we do have another piece of significant trackable rock floating in orbit that's anticipated to maintain that orbit pattern for at least 300 years.
Yeah, like Neil can, the killer of Pluto can explain this better, but like, doesn't it have to like have a certain type of, like, what's the smallest a moon can be before it's just a rock that's floating around our Earth? You know, like, what are those dimensions?
49 meters, because this 50 meter one made this classification as a quasi moon.
And then if it is floating around us and it is 49 meters and it doesn't make a moon, then what do we call it?
Yeah, I'm unsure, but either way, it's an interesting headline. I always like hearing about new discoveries and everything else, but this one is just a fun little headline there. And that takes us out of a week in news. As always, you'd like to quickly say hey, thanks for listening, and thanks for all the well wishes for us missing an episode last week.
Yeah, we regretfully never like taking a week off, but man, we have families, we have careers, and we have to pay bills that this show does not pay. So every once in a while, y'all get asked out. Sorry about it.
But until next time, make sure you go and join us over at thenerdykentity.com/community, or tell somebody else about it. Get somebody else in there to share some conversations, some memes, and let's keep the community growing. And until next week, nerds, talk to you later.
See ya.